The reason for the slips, let me explain here. I have...
I'm sorry.
Yes. At the end of today's presentation, I'll just pull out a name here. And this is the Ultimate School Homeschool Planner. It's a planning system designed by Deborah Bell, and it's very nicely done. It's where you can organize your daily plans for your homeschool, and it's just a lot of little helps. It's very nice. So that's what the little slips are for. Okay, thank you, Rob. Again, I want to start with another prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we just ask for your blessing again. We ask for your spirit. These are important topics that we're discussing. And I know that I cannot adequately express what you have given us. So I'm just asking that you please do it. And I thank you. Amen. All right. Today we're going to talk about the curriculum. What shall I teach? And before we began the school in Benton, you know, I just wanted to know what is in the Bible, how did learning occur, and I knew things in Deuteronomy that the Lord told us as parents, you know, we are to train our children when they get up, when they sit down, when they walk with us by the way. And then I knew about the schools of the prophets, very practical, how they would build their own building because they needed to, and it's just cook their own food. Actually, remember, it was Elisha and the pottage. And then, of course, in the testimonies that were given, there's a lot there too. So I just wanted to say, when we have the school, we want to teach what God says that we should teach and leave out those things that he doesn't say are important. So what shall I teach? I'm going to start off with the objective of the curriculum, or the purpose of why we're doing, why we're teaching what we're teaching. What is the purpose of it, the ultimate purpose behind what we are doing? The ultimate purpose is to restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created, to promote the development of the body, the mind, and the soul. That was the divine purpose in his creation. That the divine purpose in his creation might be realized, this was to be the work of redemption. This is the object of education. This is the object of education. That's found in Education, page 15 and 16. Okay? This type of education, it also prepares the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. Education, page 13. So, I want to ask you a question. If this education prepares a student for the joy of service in this world, what is the joy of service in this world? Go ahead and answer, and I'll repeat it. Is it so that you can get your schooling and then go out in the workplace, and that's it? Yes, it should include that. It should include that. It's always yes, because say if you're a doctor or a teacher, there's the power, there's a talent that God has given us, and that's the talent of influence. So yes. But I think a lot of times in this world we stop there with this life. But there's a second piece, and for the higher joy of wider service in the world. So if you think about it, if we as teachers or parents, what do we do when we're thinking about this? It has to do with character. That has to be part of the education now, character development. That doesn't mean that as a teacher we could just wish it could happen. It has to come from the Holy Spirit, and there are things that we can do that we'll talk about later on that help promote or facilitate character development in the child. God's principles of education, I believe that these are fundamental. These are the three fundamental principles on which everything is based. And we had that overall objective that I told you about. And these are, by the way, I believe in the correct order of importance. Character development, practical life skills, and academic skills. And I'm going to suggest to you that these three things are intertwined in everything we do. And hopefully you'll see more of that as we go on. If not, then we'll just ask me at the end and we'll talk about it again. So character development, practical life skills, academics. Just think of them as a rope, those three strands all together tied in. Now, I'm going to give a quotation that supports what I just said. Okay, I said character development. The education and training of the youth is an important and solemn work. The great object to be secured should be the proper development of character, that the individual may be fitted to rightly discharge the duties of the present life and to enter at last upon the future immortal life. There it is again, this life and the life to come. Eternity will reveal the manner in which the work has been performed. If ministers and teachers could have a full sense of their responsibility, we should see a different state of things in the world today. But they are too narrow in their views and purposes. They do not realize the importance of their work or its results. Christian Education, page 24. Now, life skills. The importance of practical life skills. Useful manual labor is a part of the gospel plan. The great teacher, enshrouded in the pillar of cloud, gave directions to Israel that every youth should be taught some line of useful employment. Therefore, it was the custom of the Jews, the wealthy, as well as the poorer classes, to teach their sons and daughters some useful trade so that, should adverse circumstances arise, they would not be dependent upon others, but would be able to provide for their own necessities. They might be instructed in literary lines, but they must also be trained to some craft. This was deemed as an indispensable part of their education. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 307. Again, another quote, just emphasizing the practical skills. Now, as in the days of Israel, every youth should be instructed in the duties of practical life. Each should acquire a knowledge of some branch of manual labor by which, if need be, he may obtain a livelihood. This is essential, not only as a safeguard against the vicissitudes of life, and that word vicissitudes, I'm stopping here, is not a common word that we use. Does anybody know what that means? If not, I'll tell you. It just means when hardships or trials come, you'll be prepared. Okay, so practical training is essential not only as a safeguard against the vicissitudes of life, but from its bearing upon physical, mental, and moral development. And then I had this in bold. Even if it were certain that one would never need to resort to manual labor for support, still he should be taught to work. And I feel very, very strongly. I see this. Our children, you know, as parents, you want to teach them responsibility. So even though it may be easier for you to go do a job, whether it's cleaning, I mean, it's much easier for you to do it yourself, please, I urge you to take the time and work with the student. It'll be worth it. Because we have a lot of students. I was one of them growing up, or just had a regular education, just the books. And so when it came for me to be a wife and mother, well, I was deficient, I would say, of the practical things, the things that are most important, cooking, helpful cooking, just working, knowing how to work efficiently in the home. Because we're told that some ladies in the home, when they have a job to do, this comparison, one might take like 1 hour, and another lady 2 hours to do the same job. Why is that? It's because they haven't been trained. When we are told that we are to be masters of labor, not slaves of labor, we are to use our mind, thinking all the time, how can I do something more efficiently? How could I do it even better and more thoroughly, a good job? And this is using your mind with everyday things that you do. And that's what we want to encourage in our children, in our students. So even if you knew that you would never have any hardships, learn to work. Without physical exercise, no one can have a sound constitution and vigorous health. And the discipline of well-regulated labor is no less essential to the securing of a strong, active mind and a noble character. And that is for sure. Counsels to Teachers, Parents, and Students, page 307. Now, the third item, the importance of the academic curriculum. God requires the training of the mental faculties. He designs that His servants shall possess more intelligence and clearer discernment than the worldling. And He is displeased with those who are too careless or too indolent to become efficient, well-informed workers. The Lord bids us love Him with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the strength and with all the mind. This lays upon us the obligation of developing the intellect to its fullest capacity, that with all the mind we may know and love our Creator. Christ Object Lessons, page 333. And I told you at the beginning, before we started the school in Benton, we studied, looked at the books, thought about the Bible. And this is what I found. Certainly in the curriculum, and that war core curriculum, just, I should have deleted core, just the curriculum. The Bible, of course, the Bible. Jesus was taught in the scriptures. The Bible permeates everything. Science and nature studies. Health and physiology, we should know how our body works. That's just, to me, it's just common sense. One of the most important things that we have is our health. And if we're not taught how to maintain the health, what does that do for us? The language arts, reading, English or language, writing, and spelling. Voice culture, now that is a term. Do you know what I mean by voice culture?
How to sing and speak.
Okay, how to speak. You know, you've been to different presentations or where the speaker may be speaking in a monotone voice or speaking so quickly that you think, oh, please, stop. And so we want to train our students. It's like oral recitation. there will be meeting people in public, and maybe they'll be giving presentations. So when you're doing the reading program, you're reading from the Bible. Like, for example, this year we memorized the Ten Commandments. And we talked about how to stand if we were reciting it for church, the pleasantness of the smile on the face, and then the actual practicing of the recitation so that it is clear and nice, it's not hurtful to the ear. That's what we mean by voice culture. Mathematics, we should know how to keep accounts. Sacred music and poetry, sacred history and prophecies of the Bible are important. Geography and missions. Now I'm going to talk about the practical life skills that I believe are very helpful in the school. Number one is agriculture. So many spiritual and character developing and academic skills can be found in agriculture and actually every single one of these things. That remember the three things: character development, practical skills, and academics. You can find that in every single, we'll give some examples later. So agriculture, evangelism, service, healthful cookery, medical missionary training, knowing the body, the physiology, household work, showing the students how to properly clean, simple repairs, household repairs. Let them see what it takes to run a household and show them. They really enjoy that. And I had simplified auto repair or maintenance. I don't know. I think I've done several drafts of this, and this isn't my updated one, so I'm sorry. So I'm just going to add the maintenance. A continued practical life skills. Carpentry, woodworking. Mrs. Woodward's in here. She goes to my church, and her husband is very good with woodworking. And one time I called him, I said, Mark, because I don't have these skills, but I believe that they're beneficial for my students. So I said, Mark, can you help me? Can you come and do like a woodworking demonstration for the students? And sure enough, he came and he had the drill, and it was just a good experience. So another thing, you know, we can do, I'm just going to interject that here. If you don't have these skills, certainly there are people that you know or you can inquire to come and help you. So don't feel intimidated. Just know that they're important and call around, see if you can have someone in your church help you. Computer in this age, typing skills, sewing, mending. And then there's elective courses. There's students that are interested in photography. I've had students interested in photography, art, drawing, knitting. And then there's practical students for the older students, construction, felling trees, etc. Believe it or not, the first year I had an older student, Joshua, and he had an interest in felling trees. He'd done before, and it was something that he wanted to do. And that's fine. We just have to try to provide it in this area. Well, we had 21 trees cut in my backyard. So, and the students got to see a little bit of this, and that was very interesting to them and to me. And there's a lot of like technical skills, like which way is the tree going to fall so it doesn't fall in the house, and all these things that you can get into there. There's a lot. Okay, now I want to get into methods of teaching, just little points that just will enhance teaching. To me, one of the most important is be what you want your students to become. They're looking. You are the model. You are the example. I believe that for me, I knew that I need to be in the Word. I need to read the Bible every day, pray, be close to God. Not only that, what I would try to do is make sure I read my Bible every day. And then I also wanted to read some in the spirit of prophecy, because it's so easy to forget these things. And I wanted them continuous, kind of like what the instruction we're given in Deuteronomy. When you get up in the morning, when you walk by the day, I mean the whole day. And I just didn't want to forget, so I tried to say, okay, just let me read a little bit. Was this, it might be 5 minutes, but oh, yes. And I can tell you, in my own experience, that was very helpful to me, because I could see, and it's so easy to stray from these principles, because let's take it, it's sometimes we like to take the easy way out. And if it's just easier to do something, then we tend to do it. And some of this stuff that we want to do, it takes more thought, it takes more work, and we need to be reminded, constantly reminded. At least I do. I don't know about you, so I just want to give you that from my experience. So be what you want your students to become. The personal element. Deal with students individually as well as corporately. This goes for parents. This certainly goes for teachers. If you have a classroom full of students, well, how do you deal with them individually? That's something to think about. But I can tell you, I've had wonderful experiences in the public school with 19 students or more, in the church school with 24 students. One experience I had, well, sometimes when the students were at seat work, I had, when I first started out, I had some little Spanish students, and their English wasn't developed totally. So I just remember taking them to the front of the classroom, and I should know the Spanish language, being Hispanic, but I'm sad to say I grew up not learning my own language. We spoke English in the home. My parents were born in the United States, so they spoke English in the home. So, but anyway, I had some limited knowledge of Spanish. I'd take them, the little girls, and I would just sit with them, and I would show them a storybook. I was a teacher of first and second grade in Adventist school in Southern California. And we would just sit down, and I would try with my limited Spanish, and they just loved that, a Bible story. And I would just, it was just wonderful. Things like this. Now, think about this. This statement, taken from Education, page 231, 232. Deal with students individually as well as corporately. Here's where the quote begins. It was by personal contact and association that Jesus trained the 12. And what did the 12 do? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, changed the world. That's what they did. It was in private, often to but one listener, that he gave his most precious instruction. The teacher will take a personal interest in each pupil and will seek to develop all his powers. And we have some examples from the Bible. Nicodemus, one-on-one. And most people consider John 3:16 the most beautiful text in the Bible. Who was that given to? One person, Nicodemus. The woman at the well. Now I was trying to think, Jesus told her directly, I am the Messiah. You're speaking to him. To me, that's powerful. Another thing we should do is make things as simple and as practical as you can. Use illustrations. We're told to use charts, illustrations, visual aids. Another thing that's good to do and helpful, especially for parents that have multi-age children, teachers that are teaching in multi-grade classrooms, train the older students to be thoughtful and help the younger students. This is so beneficial. I've used this. We have to be careful, though. But this encourages responsibility, it encourages confidence, and the students that's the older student that is trying to help the younger. There's a lot of positive character developing going on there. Show enthusiasm. Show enthusiasm. You probably heard that story where a pastor and an actor in the stage are talking, and the pastor's puzzled. He says, why is it that when you're up on the stage, you're doing your thing, you have all this wonderful response from the audience? And the reply from the actor is, well, we as the stage actors tell of imaginary things as if they are real. Maybe you pastors tell of real things as if they were imaginary. Show enthusiasm. Be prepared. Set objectives and goals and hold yourself accountable. The Bible across the curriculum. Always, I would encourage us, whenever we can, use practical hands-on instructions whenever you are able. This is hard. Sometimes we have ideas from other people, and sometimes we have to, by the grace of God and through on our knees in prayer, which I have done, to ask, Lord, what can I do to help me in this area? And don't beat yourself if you don't do it. Just keep plugging away. Because I know it is not easy for parents that are just in the midst of everything and they go, how can I do this? Just by the grace of God, just keep trying. That's what I want to tell you today. In the Bible, the beginning of the Bible, we have the story of Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden. And when we're telling the Bible story to our students, we can think, okay, what was the original diet that's in the Bible? This is information, this is truth from the Bible. Well, we know what the original diet is. So, okay, well, how can I make that practical? Well, in this little school in my home, we have cooking classes. And so we did different types of entrees that would support the original diet. And I'm going to stop here and just come over here. We cooked Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And later on in the year, I changed that to Mondays and Fridays because it was getting too much. And I definitely wanted on Friday because I wanted the students to be able to be part of the Sabbath preparation meal for their families. That I felt this is an opportunity of service, an opportunity for the child to help the family in some way and lighten the load of the mother. So I wanted to make sure that they had something to take home for their families to add to the Sabbath meal. And I used many, many different cookbooks. I don't know how many. I just brought two, 10 talents. There's a lot of good recipes here. And some for how to bake bread, and there's for the child a simple recipe. You use a sandwich bag, and you make bread out of a sandwich bag. That was a lot of fun. And so there's different things. And this book was very, very helpful. It's Kid Delicious. It has recipes with the child in mind. I think we pretty much exhausted this book. It did pretty much every recipe. There's so, if you want to come and take a look at it later, please do. There's so many cute and helpful recipes here. And another practical thing that, well, maybe I'll save this for later if I don't forget. Let me move on. Health and physiology. We talked about New Start. And coming from Weimar, Dorothy Nelson was the originator of the New Start program. So I had some of her little materials on that, and some other books and resources that I used. Music, Commit scripture, songs, psalms, and hymns to memory. Learn a simple instrument as a recorder or ukulele to assist in the morning in devotional or Bible class. I do this. I just happen to very, very much, enjoy music. And so this was an easier thing for me. And it worked out well because, as you know, people have different strengths and weaknesses. And we have to capitalize on that. Some people academically they excel, some people physically perhaps excel, some people musically or art wise. Well, we want to develop those and encourage that. And so I had a student that academically was challenged, but musically was rather gifted, ear. And so got the ukulele. I have a little music class one day a week. And we were learning recorders and hymns, beautiful hymns to the Lord, and songs on the ukulele. Well, she would be the instrumentalist when we had our morning worships there in my living room. She'd get the ukulele and she would just play, and then we would just sing along. It was nice. Nice for her, nice for me. Evangelism and service. These are just a few ideas. Take the students to an assisted living center. And I'm going to tell you a true story that I've experienced here, that I had here. I was teaching first and second grade in an Adventist school in Southern California. And I knew I wanted to do something for the community, something that we could do. So told the students, let's, you know, make some drawings. Let's have a little song, a little program, and we're going to go to the nursing home. Now, fortunately for me, there was a nursing home which we could walk to from where the school was. We could actually walk. So I need to backtrack a little bit about this to tell you how it fits in. Okay, before we did that, in reading class, these are the old Adventist readers with Dick and Jane and Susan. There's a story there of Susan and Tom, two little children. Their dad is a pastor. And the dad asked him to go to the post office, small town, and just pick up the mail. And so they go there, they see the postman, and they tell the postman they invite him to church. And the postman says, well, I don't go to church. And that makes him feel sad. Just a little story. And then they go away. They just say, oh, please come, our daddy's at church. And then that Sabbath, the children are in church, and little Susan looks back, and she sees the postman there, and she's excited. She had invited him. He came. Okay, that was the story that we had read, one of the stories we had read in class during the week. And so now we're going to the nursing home, and the nursing home director is there. He greets us. He's very appreciative. Now, little did I know that little Moana talked to him about church and invite him to church. Now, in Southern California, there are many, many churches, I could tell you that. I belong to one of the constituent churches, not the church in Baldwin Park, California, where the school was located and where the nursing home was. I went to a church in Hacienda Heights, about half an hour away. But anyway, that Sabbath, after the presentation by the children, I was in church. I was in front, and I looked back, and I saw the nursing home director there. How do you think I felt? And Moana told me before that she had invited him. I think he was a former Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I wish I could tell you that, you know, he continued to come and all this. You know, that's not the case. But look at the opportunities as a parent, as a teacher. Yes. Amen. So, housework. I have another experience this in the school at Benton. It was a beautiful facility. We had windows all along one side of the classroom. And people would come to the dentist there that was another part of the facility, and they would look in the classroom, and they were just, it was just like a something to talk about in the community. And there was a retired teacher that had health problems. She was retired, and she had to see the dentist. One day she stopped. She stopped and she wanted to speak to me because she's a teacher. She was interested in what was going on. And we got to talking, and she said, "I'm retired. Would you like all these things? I want to give them to you and the school." And she did. She gave me a bunch of stuff. And then in talking with her, I found out that she had a problem. She needed to move out of her rented place in Benton. She didn't have any help. She had health challenges. She was worried about her landlord because she wasn't able to clean the house as well as she wanted to because of the health challenges. And I said, "Listen, we'll help you." It was a neat experience. We took the children. There was two teachers. There was myself, and I told you the practical arts teacher, and about 8 students. We went. We cleaned that house. And it was good. She was thankful. We were thankful. It was wonderful. And so, and this year, another experience with this, there's a woman at our church, and she is a widow. She was paying someone to come and clean her little apartment. She doesn't really have that much money to do that. So our pastor's wife called some of the deaconesses. I'm one of them. And she was saying, "Okay, can you go each month? Will someone go?" And so I was really, really busy. Can you imagine with the school, my home and everything? But I felt, no, I need to do this. And I said, "I know what I can do. I'll just bring my students at one time." And so you know what we did? It was wonderful. I took them to the lady's house, another lady. We all cleaned, and we took our instruments with us, too, because I had another plan. This lady lives in a little kind of apartment complex. It's not really apartments. They're individual housing units there. And I thought, after we clean, we'll just go knock on some doors. We'll ask if we can sing them a little song that we had prepared. We'll ask them if we could pray. And so that's what we did. We cleaned, and then after that, we knocked on the doors and prayed and sang for people. Candace's dad was one of them, and then his neighbor came, and his neighbor was having difficulties. He was having issues at the time, and he really wanted prayer. And so we just said, "We'll pray for you." We knelt down, and we prayed for him, and I believe that he was blessed. He said he was. And we can, of course, help. The children can help with yard work. So we want to teach them to be community-minded, to think of others. Bible Across the Curriculum continued. Again, use practical hands-on instruction whenever you're able. Math, of course, the Bible and math. Well, there's many, many examples. Tithing is just one. When you're talking about fractions or percent, what is a tithe? How to keep accounts, money management. I want to share, maybe some of you know this already. Here's a book. It's Dollars and Cents from Grandmommy, Kathy Reed. And I'll just read you what it says in the back. Dollars and Cents from Grandmommy is an interactive storybook with activity sheets that introduce 5 to 8-year-olds to what the Bible says about money. It includes such topics as spending, tithe, offerings, work, honesty, debt, contentment, seeking counsel, and sacrifice. And it's just a story about grandchildren and their grandmother, and just goes on and it does these principles. And I, you know, how to keep accounts, how to manage money. Yes, in the young age, we need to do that. How many of you are familiar with Larry Perkett and his work in the financial? See, I've listened to those programs sometimes, and it's really sad. People come in and they're having financial problems. Some, of course, it's not because of something they did, but sometimes it is. So if we teach our young people now, as we should, as we're told we should, this will help, hopefully, alleviate problems, potential problems, when they're older. So how to keep accounts, personal finance, and then Proverbs. So many, so much wisdom in Proverbs. Arithmetic concepts, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions. You can create your own word problems, which I have done. And of course, the higher mathematics, if you know the student is going on to be a doctor or something, and of course you need those higher mathematics, but I'm just talking about the elementary level right now. And then there's the fascinating things in nature where you see the hand of God. Mathematics deals with patterns, and I said Fibonacci numbers, symmetry, fractals. We see just the hand of God and how everything is balanced, and there's a pattern, and it's a replicating pattern. There's mathematics behind it. You can look up all these things and read about them yourself, but certainly they're found in the, and mathematics is found in the creation, the universe. Something, I mean, it's just, I don't understand it all, but I know that it's there, and we can certainly lead the student. Measurement, I've done this, and when I'm, for my Bible, basically what I did, I wanted to go through the whole Bible with the students, and I used the Uncle Arthur bedtime story Bibles, like there's 1 to 10 storybooks, so that I go through the whole Bible, and then I supplemented it with different things whenever I could. I remember we were talking about one of the giant's beds. He had a bed frame, and it tells you the dimension. I said, let's go outside, and let's just measure till we could see. Whoa, you know. And it just gives you more perspective when you can use hands-on things like this. Science and nature. Go out in nature and observe and study the birds, trees, ants, flowers, sun. Do experiments, collect shells, rocks, insect specimens, observe a tadpole and a caterpillar. You know, in the garden, just when you work in the garden, it's really, for me, I mean, seeing the life cycle of a potato beetle from the little yellow eggs that are behind the leaf to like the teenage stage to the adult stage. And then this year we had a neat experience in our backyard where we live. Tends to collect a lot of water, which I'm not happy about that. But anyway, there's a little channel that it's like that collects water there. And so there's a lot of tadpoles there. And in science, we were wanted to see like the developmental cycle from the tadpole to the frog. And so we collected those and we put them in a little container outside and we could see the growth. Unfortunately, we didn't make it all. Didn't make it all the way to the frog stage because the little tadpole didn't live, but we did see growth. And it's just so neat, I mean, for all of us. Sewing, mending. Oh, we have the example of Dorcas in the Bible. When you're talking about Dorcas, how much love she was in the community. Why? Because of the service that she provided. And so we, in our school, we've done simple sewing projects, like how to do different kind of hemming, especially if a button comes off. Teach them how to sew the button on. And then my daughter helped me with them. They made a simple blouse and a simple skirt. It's one of the things that we did. And boys and girls, because I tell the boys, well. And I haven't had trouble yet with any of the boys. You don't know when you grow up. You may have a wife right away, but you may not. You're going to go to college. Your mom's not there. You need to know how to do these things, how to tie your own tie, how to, if a button comes off, you know, what you do. So, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. You know, how to fold laundry, how to wash. And we had a fun time. My husband was there at that time when we were teaching boys and girls how to tie a tie. That was just kind of fun. That's just on a side note. And then I talked to you already about this one, reading, Bible recitation, practice orally, reading the Bible passages and voice culture. Language. Study the Bible passages. You know, it's 1 Corinthians 13, Isaiah 55. Certainly there's many, many Psalms. And there's in concepts of language, there's things called imagery, and the Bible's full of imagery. And I can think of one: the son is like a bridegroom ready to run a race. And another is when we were doing Proverbs, a woman without discretion is like a jewel in a swine's mouth. One time we were looking in school, we were looking at different Proverbs, and I had the children illustrate some of these things. And the pictures that they drew and everything, I mean, it just makes it more real. I want to stop here, too. Music. In the hymns that we were learning, we would come across vocabulary words that the student would not know, and I knew it. And some of them I didn't know myself. So when you're doing music, you can learn vocabulary. Crown him with many crowns is an example. Maybe I told you about that already when it uses the word ineffably and sublime and potentate. An opportunity for you, instruction. And also another example of language. Language, you study the different parts of speech in some of the hymns. Like I was thinking, I remember softly and tenderly is one example. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and me. Well, the words softly and tenderly are adverbs. And so you just reemphasize. Hey, this is an example of adverbs you use in the hymn. Not only in the language book, that's the English book that you use, but you see it used elsewhere. I'm going to interject something here, too. The active part. Prepositions. We went outside and I said, okay, show me, you know, going around, you know, inside, underneath, over, under. And they had a fun time, you know, doing active, and but you're learning prepositions. It's just different ideas when I talk about whenever you can use hands-on activity type things. It just makes it more real. A Bible prophecy, make your own charts, illustration, diagrams of the 2,300-day prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar's image, the sanctuary, a lot of different things you can do there. Bible cross the curriculum, helpful ideas. Praise the Lord, learning hymns, incorporate music. I said arts and crafts. Beatrice, you can read all these things here. We talked about it here. I'm going to invite my friend Beatrice. Beatrice helped me the first year. She and her two children, as I mentioned yesterday, came to my home every Tuesday. And what a wonderful blessing they were. And I'm going to invite my friend Beatrice to come. She did many things with the children that year, many things. And we're going to share something that I had mentioned yesterday. And I'm worried about will she be able to be picked up on this?
No, unless she has that put to her.
All right, let me do that. So pardon us right now.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry about that. Well, it was a blessing to be able to go to Carrie's Pattern Life School. I am a homeschool mom, and one of the things that I wanted to share with her in the school that was really good in my homeschool was I do a section called industry, something with the concept of, she already read all the quotes of how manual, you know, work and labor and learning should go tied into, you know, to the structure of the curriculum. And I actually love art. That's a hobby that I have. And in thinking about that, Jesus was born in a house where it was a craftsman, and how that useful work, I mean, he learned so much. Holy Spirit really guided that aspect. So try to do art in the home, and we try to do art in the school in a useful way. You know, not just art to have it on a wall, but to do something with it. What can you learn with it? So I'm going to give you an example of one of the things we did. There is a quote that I have in child guidance that it talks about teaching the children to use tools, you know, when the age is right, and they can become really, you know, really good and happy and using tools. So I thought of the way of why don't we make our own tools? And this is one of the tools we made. We actually took a can, and you can take any type of can. It could be a medium size, a small size can. And what we did is we took a can opener and we opened one side and then the other side. I used a special can opener so the can would not be, wouldn't be sharp. If you don't have that, you could just cover it up with duct tape so it won't be sharp to the child. Then we also took, I don't know if you can see, nails about 2.5 inches long, and we put them in pairs, okay, something like that. In pairs, leaving space in between. You could do this a lot closer together, and I'm going to show you what we're going to do here. I left a little piece of the tape, I don't know if you can see the inside, to leave that little gap in between the two, okay? So then we stuck it together just with duct tape. Why not go to the store and buy a loom and make this? It's not that beautiful. But, you know, it's a cheap way to do something, and it could turn into an industry for the child. Maybe he can help mom at home, or give it to someone, or, you know, sell it, you know, learn about tithing and all that. Okay, so then also you need one of those old-fashioned clothespins. So we took that, and we took a nail, and we, you know, hammered the nail into the clothespin. And this is going to be our hook. This is a homemade hook. The nails, by the way, need to have the less head possible, you know, that tip, as less as possible, okay? So we tried to curve this nail a little bit to make our hook. And then the process was you would take a yarn. It could be the thin yarn, it could be the thick yarn, and then you would take that, and I'm going to sort of show you the concept of how to knit. Could you please, yes, hold this. Thank you. And then you would take the end of the yarn and put it on the loom and hold it with your thumb like this so it wouldn't go away. And then we would just wrap it. It could be both ways. Wrap it around. And we would make a whole level of wrapping. Okay? And after we did that, we would push it down using our little hook. Try to push it down. And then we would do a second level. Okay? And with that second level, all the way around, you would take the hook and from the bottom, pass it on the top. I don't know if you can see if I can illustrate it. You would take the bottom side of the yarn and pass it on top of the two nails, and then you have just one layer of yarn left, and you would do that to everything, and then you would add another layer, and you just continue and continue. When you just continue and continue, thank you, then you have this. Then your product could be something like this. Then you can go as long as you want, and it really turned out to be a little scarf. You know, some did it really, really long. Others just wanted to do it short. If you have a wide enough can, like one of those big, big, I don't know, like camping things, you could have something wider, and then you would take it off, and this last level, you would close it up. And when you close it up, then you have a little hat. Okay? As you can see in this case, the little hooks were closer together, and that way you could have it closer. But, you know, the child learns with this, with this tool, with this loom. He sees, you know, we put it together, and then we say, okay, well, we have the tool, and we have the yarn. Is it any good to us? I mean, if we leave it on the table, will it do it? What do we need? We need someone that knows how to use this, right? And we are the tools in God's hands. Yes, He made us. He made us for a purpose. But if He's not guiding our life, you know, there's nothing that we can get out of this. And we are made for being useful to others, you know. So that was just the inspiration. I had a little a verse that went along actually with this. It says Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So I'm wonderfully made for a purpose. God bless you.
I'm just going to hold it right now. Thank you so much. Beatrice was such a help. I mean, with so many good ideas, practical, fun ideas for the children to do. It's such a blessing. Thank you very much. We're a little over an hour, so I don't know what you would like me to do. Finish it. Well, I don't know. Rob, what would you like me to continue? Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you for your help. I just need help with putting this back on. Oh. All right, thank you. I think we will briefly go through this. We talked about praising the Lord with music, arts and crafts, building sanctuary models, dioramas, journal writes. Sometimes in the morning after I would do the Bible lesson, I would have some kind of a prompt or had to do with a spiritual lesson, and they would have their little journals where they could illustrate a little picture or write something about that Bible lesson that made them think about spiritual things. Baking bread, and I just had there's Ezekiel, there's ingredients there in the Bible that talk about Ezekiel, so I just said you could try, you know, Ezekiel bread when you're cooking. And again, service, and we have plenty of stories in the Bible of service, Dorcas, Shunammite woman, you do the same. Another thing that I did was very helpful is invite godly, knowledgeable individuals such as Beatrice and others to conduct a week of prayer or a single lesson. I had people come in and teach. There's a lady at our church that is very knowledgeable in bicycles and bicycle repair. She came to the house and told the children, gave a lesson, bought her bike, simple bicycle maintenance. Every child has a bike, pretty much. How to take care of it and some simple repair. She did a demonstration for me. It was very nice. Here at Southern Adventist University, we have an archaeology museum. Brought the students here and learned some Bible history and things like this. It was very nice. And then these are just some simple resources here. I want you to know on this table here, just some of the things that I've used. Pardon me, that wasn't on properly. Okay, I'll just try my best. How many of you are familiar with Margie S. Weiss? Basically, the great controversy stories, or just did this. Well, how many of you are familiar with Michael S. Weiss? Okay, I use this, and this is similar to Margie S. Weiss, only with a boy. It goes with the great controversy theme, you know, why sin entered the world, and there's a story with children. Well, this has a little chapter that you can read to the children, and then there's an activity book that goes along with it, and it's been, after we would read this, I do this on Fridays as some kind of little extra fun thing. There was activity games and puzzles that the children really did. They did enjoy this. And you're welcome to take a look at this. Something else that I used that I really like for me personally was the Spirit of Prophecy Emphasis Stories. Tell us the history of the church. How many? There's four volumes, I believe. How many? Raise your hands if you are familiar with this. Nobody. Well, this is something put out by the General Conference Department of Education, I think in the 1970s, and they have kind of the history of the early Adventist pioneers. And I would just read one story and talk about it and learn. Oh, boy, I really, really like those. There's different things for you to see. I was talking, she wasn't able to come today with another parent. She was talking about she has three little boys, different ages, but close in range. And the same thing with me. I had our four daughters close in range. And so it's hard as a parent or as a teacher to come up with individualized things for everyone to do, so every one of them to do. So you do it as a whole, and the unit study works nicely for this. This is something in my time when I was younger, my girls were little. This is a God creation in me. It's a unit study, and it was developed by kindergarten teachers at Loma Linda Elementary School back in the 1970s. And it's based on the creation week. And within this is the Bible, of course, science, art, health, the other subjects, all intertwined nicely for you. And it worked nicely for me. I don't know that I got that on here. No, I did not. I'm sorry. Here's another resource that was very helpful to me. It's called A Girl's Guide to Home Skills. There's also a boy's Guide to Home Skills. It is not from the Seventh-day Adventist curriculum or church. Another Christian woman developed this, but it's very handy, and I used it. There's so many different things in here. Pardon me?
Is Steering
Clean? Yes. Oh, this is. This is. Now, the Boy's Guide, I would recommend it. You have to look some of the things at Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, like some of the menu planning here, there's meat dishes and things. So you have to go through it yourself and see. But it is helpful. Nonetheless, it is helpful. I'll show you. It goes to the household. It goes to the different rooms in the house, like the kitchen and the bathroom and the living room and the bedroom. And there's checklists. There's like a checklist. You try to teach the children, and you talk to the parents and say, we're doing this stuff in school. We'd like you to reinforce this at the home. And they have to sign a name for the child to sign and a name for the parent to sign, like how to wash the dishes, how to load it and use an automatic electric dishwasher, how to deal in an emergency of fire in the kitchen. There's so many steps. I mean, you could pick and choose here, but there's so many little ideas. One idea, there's several things that we did here. I can't go into them all, but I'll say one of them. One of them is how do you make your own household cleaners? You know, you go to the store, and some of these things are expensive. So how do you make your own window cleaner, bathroom cleaner? And so we had fun, a little bit of chemistry there. You're welcome to come and look at this book. And I told you about the cooking. One idea, the practice. Yes.
I'm sorry. Back to the Spirit of Prophecy Emphasis Stories. Is that something that's still in print?
Okay. The question is, the four-volume set of the, let me get the title right, The Spirit of Prophecy Emphasis Stories, 4-volume, by Norma Youngberg, the Ellen G. White Estate, and the General Conference Department of Education. The question is asked, is it still in print? I just know back in 2007, I misplaced one of my volumes, and I was able to get one then. So 2007. I think it is, but I'm not absolutely positive. I think so. Yes. Oh, let me repeat that. So a participant in the audience was suggesting that you can find a lot of old books possibly at abe.com. Excuse me. abebooks.com.
Someone that has a laptop at hand, if you can look and make sure I'm giving the right address.
Okay, if anybody has a laptop and wants to Google that, abebooks.com, and check that out. I want to tell you something else that we did for the cooking class. I told you that we cook 3 days a week, and it started off with just demonstrating the children coming up and doing various things, parts of the cooking. And then after we did this for a while, I wanted to make a little step higher. And so I wrote this letter to the parents. During the months of December and January, each student will be required to plan and demonstrate a vegan recipe to the class. Please help your child select a recipe and practice with them at home so they can present the cooking demonstration in the school. Your child will need to bring everything he or she needs on the day of his or her presentation. Each recipe should allow everyone to have a sample, approximately 12 servings. Students age 10 to 12 should plan on a half-hour demonstration. Students age 8 to 11, 15 to 20 minutes. And students 5 to 7, 10 to 15 minutes. And then I have to schedule who was doing what at what time. But this is an opportunity for the students to present, to learn. I mean, can you think of all the different academic things that they're doing in something like this? This type of education, you can go just all over the place. It's just very, very wonderful. What I have here, just some of the resources. I went to the internet a lot too, and you have to be careful what's out there, but to get ideas, and there's so much of wealth of ideas. If I wanted to, I use this a lot. When I'm asked to do children's story at church, I mean, it's very important to me. I mean, anything that I do, I just want it to be helpful to the person, the child, and the parents. I would search the internet, and I would, you know, a lot of times I would ask the minister, what are you preaching about? And they would tell me their topic, if I knew I was going to do children's story that week. And I said, okay, you know, for example, they're preaching on mercy one time recently. And I was asked to give the children's story. So I went on the internet, and I typed mercy. And sometimes you find things, sometimes you don't. And I found some ideas. I thought they're good ideas, only I liked them. one was talking about God's mercy. And so they said, you know, just I had a small container with water. Then I got a larger container of water. You could do this. And you fill it up. And then I had one of those little eyedroppers. And then they said, imagine how would you. And then I had some sand in a container there. And I said to the children, how would you like the job of using this eyedropper and just emptying the water in this little container? Well, that's not so bad. Okay, how about this big? Well, nobody wanted that, just one. But can you imagine the tediousness of this? And then I said, how about the ocean? Can you imagine? Oh, no. God's mercy is abundant. God's mercy is more. I mean, you just take that long. God's just abundant with mercy. I said, how much you would like? I took a little bit of the sand from the container, and I put it in my hand. And you can see the little grains of sand. I let them see. And then I had the bottle. How would you like to count all those grains of sand? Well, nobody wanted to do that. Can we measure? I started out, can we measure God's mercy? No, we can't. Can we measure God's love? No, we can't. It helps them get a visual picture. Wow. Oh, can't. Then I told them, imagine all the sand and the beaches in the whole world. Counting them. One by one. Oh, no. God's love. Not only that, and then I happened by just chance that week to be looking at science videos about the universe, and an astrophysicist made the comment that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the ocean. So, whoa. Well, and we look at the Bible. What did God tell Abraham? She'll make your descendants as the stars, the sky. Whoa. You know, these things just come up to our children. I don't know. This is taking too long. Maybe I should just continue or stop. Stop. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't. The last two slides are just basically trying to an attempt to show you how character development, practical skills, and academic skills should be intertwined with each other. And so I have the Bible there, and okay, the Bible. Well, character development, sure, certainly we can. That's easily seen that the Bible will develop character, and we have lessons that we can learn from Proverbs. I shared some with you. The life of Jesus, Bible biographies. We should study the lives of men, their successes, their mistakes, help us build our character. Lessons that we can learn from. Okay, practical skills. How do I use the Bible practically? Can you? Of course you can. You have the Bible markings with some of the older. Mark your Bible, then go out and witness. You know, you have your text with the state of the dead, so and so. Voice culture, reading, using the Bible and reading it and practicing voice culture, reading comprehension. Do you read? Do you understand this passage or the story? Writing. There's many ways to teach academic skills through the Bible. Language arts. And mathematics, I mean, through all these regular academic subjects like language arts, mathematics, reading, there's always these character develops, responsibility, perseverance, honesty. I was going to have a breakout session to have you tell me how that is done. You all have students, either students, if you're teachers, children, if you're parents, that you give them something to do, either they don't do it right, they don't do it, they take too long, or they don't want to do it at all. Well, opportunity to develop responsibility, perseverance. Always through all the academic subjects that it comes. So that was just a little chart, and then I just trying to finish the other one. Agriculture, surface, cooking, homeschool, home skills, and I tried to see how they were intertwined. When you see the asterisk, that means that those are already practical skills. Agriculture, service, cooking, home skills. Those are practical skills. And these are lessons, certainly lessons. We've talked about them. Other presenters have talked about character development in agriculture. All those can be found in those different areas. And then here's the academic skills that can go with agriculture. Okay, just some more resources. And I'm going to end here. Thank you. Sorry that I apologize that I went over. Thank you for your patience. We're just going to close with prayer now. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for these words of wisdom and counsel that you have given us to the people to help train and mold our children. It's just my prayer, Lord, that we will do something about it, that we will implement these principles in our own families, in our schools. In your name I pray and thank you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.